What's up, everybody? It is Sunday night, June 14th, 2020. You know, I don't even know if this is the right button. should we start piping in our own crowd chants, you know, when I say something really fucking funny? You know, should I? I mean, we'll talk about it. This is your WWE Backlash pay-per-view recap. I am Don Tony, and joined along with me tonight is...
Kev Castle. What's up, DT?
I tell you, you know, having the pay-per-views end 9:30, 10 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, I'm fine with that. You know, in the COVID era, you know, we're going to end a little bit earlier. I don't have too much of a problem, but... Backlash just ended. They hyped up the greatest wrestling match of all time. We had some enhanced crowd noise. We had the Street Profits and the Viking Raiders do something that I don't even know what it was. What's your overall quick thoughts about this pay-per-view tonight?
I liked In Your House a lot better. I mean, the obvious, the last match was pretty off the hook. I liked it. The rest of the card was pretty subpar. I mean, we'll break it down like we always do, but good closer, good ending. You know, I didn't know the spoiler, the results, or anything. You know, what they taped this week ago, DT. Good main event. That's, you know, and the rest.
Well, I'll tell you, if anybody heard my pay-per-view predictions on Friday, and I welcome anybody to go check them out. I'm not saying this really to toot my own horn, but I'm saying this more of what I kind of feared. I actually got every outcome correct. Every outcome, even down to some of the matches like, Sasha Banks stealing the victory when Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross were about to win. You know, it felt way too predictable. And I had said on Friday, I was hoping that I got some of the match predictions wrong, because usually when I get a prediction wrong, I'm usually surprised, and there's usually something extra added to it. But I tell you, you know, overall on the pay-per-view, you know, I keep saying this on the other shows, and I'll say it over here too, you know, we're in an era where there's no live fans. We're in an era... where they can't even travel. They can't even go to different arenas. We're in an era where a lot of stars cannot even perform. When you look at AEW, you look at Impact Wrestling, you look at WWE, there's a lot of wrestlers that are not performing right now because of what's going on. Just because 3 months have gone by in COVID doesn't mean that the risk is not there anymore. It is still there. I know we can't wait to turn this page. So WWE tonight tried to be a little bit creative with the Edge Randy Orton match. What'd you think of the crowd noise being piped in?
I didn't mind. Well, I liked the Howard Finkel intro. I thought that was kind of cool. But the crowd noise, I don't know. I mean, listen, I guess they just wanted a little bit more zest than the fucking people and the trainees were going to provide by banging on the fucking glass or whatever. So I thought it was okay. It didn't kill anything. I don't think it's anything we need to dwell on. But, you know, and if it's just for this because of the theme of it, I'm okay with it, but I hope it's not a running thing.
Yeah. Well, as far as the Howard Finkel thing, you know, it was a nice touch. Yeah. I had mentioned this to a few people online earlier. You watch the old school section. Howard Finkel is spliced in all over the place, especially when they had to dub over entrance themes that they could no longer play. So Howard Finkel doing that is something that's been on the network quite a few times. It was a nice touch tonight because it kind of flashed me back, and I brought this up not too long ago. I said it would be cool once in a while to have Howard Finkel do some announcing, a la when Derek Jeter would come out of Yankee Stadium and you still had Bob Shepard introducing him. Number two, Derek Jeter. Number two. So, you know, I always thought that would be a nice touch. I'm a little surprised it hasn't happened, you know, a little more often. And yes, look, Howard Finkel did not die all that long ago, but I thought maybe they would have done this a little bit sooner as like a nice little touch, you know, to think. But as far as the crowd, noise being piped in. You know, I want to make this perfectly clear to everybody tuning in. I don't want anybody to take what I have to say about the crowd noise and put that against Edge and Randy Orton. Because in my honest opinion, they knocked it out of the park. Yeah. Edge had an extra chip on his shoulder because of what happened at Mania. They definitely delivered. The crowd noise and everything that was going on is beyond their control. So I do not deduct points because of that when it comes to their match. But I don't like the crowd noise being piped in because we just had this conversation 6 days ago when I said that it almost feels like there's a guy in the corner with a green light. When that lights up, the NXT cast members cheer. When the red light comes up, the NXT cast members, a majority of them, jeer or boo. And what this felt like tonight, and it exactly was what I felt, is they were going along with whatever they heard on the speakers. If they heard, you know, a This Is Awesome chant starting to come in through the speakers, they were going along with it. If you heard boos or loud noise or going against one person, whatever, the speakers dictated the reactions of the NXT stars. Once in a while, because I guess they didn't have too much of this on the mixer board, you know, so when they were going, let's go Randy, let's go Edge, I guess they probably just had like, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, or you just mute it, let's go, you know, and then you have the NXT cast members filling it in. I don't like that. I don't like when you force a certain narrative. If you want to do it just for this purposes, that's fine. I don't mind the enhanced noise if it's just noise, because you could be in an arena and nobody chants and nobody boos and nobody cheers. But just sitting in the arena, people make noise. They talk to each other. They might clap. They might do this. So if you're going to just pipe in a little enhanced noise where the background just doesn't sound dead, you know, like the crowd noise could almost be like instrumental music. You know, you walk into a doctor's office, you know, and if there's no music on there, it just feels dead. But you walk in there and there's some light, polite entrance music. Even if you're in an elevator, you got some light elevator. If they just use a little crowd noise just to make it sound like there's some extra people there, but you let the NXT stars be organic with whatever reactions. Jody, don't give me this, it's a TV show, because this never fucking was done in the history of pro wrestling for the most part. Don't all of a sudden act like this is a normal thing, all right? This is the equivalent of when Roman Reigns was getting booed out of the building and they changed the reaction and they changed certain things, or they changed some of the background noise to make it a certain narrative that they wanted to show, all right? I enjoyed the match tremendously, and I'll repeat it because I know that's not, some people it's not going to penetrate. I don't take away from the Randy Orton Edge match because of that. That is beyond their control. But right. The idea of putting these fictitious boos and these fictitious this, and just because Randy Orton, you know, takes two spears, you got a holy shit chant coming through the speakers. I'm like, come on. I didn't like it. I didn't like it, you know. It just and it made the NXT stars at ringside, their reactions, you know, you want things to feel organic. It's a suspension of disbelief. And when you're being fed a certain way with the noise, I don't know, that kind of ruins it for me, to be honest with you.
But you think that's a one-shot deal. You don't think they'll be doing this again, right? It's pretty much a one-shot deal.
I think what, honestly, my gut feeling and what WWE should do is they should just surf the net and soak in what the reactions were. Now, you're going to have your typical people that just will shit and whine on everything. Then you'll have some typical people that praise every fucking thing around. You have to really just look at the net. I don't want to see any WWE email survey. What did you think of the enhanced noise? Because there's a lot of people out there just to try to get a little hand job from WWE that they'll just say, yes, yes, I thought it was excellent. I thought it was great. You know, this people will tear your moves. They should just look at the natural fan reaction online and go from there. Like I said, I don't mind a little light noise, but when you start trying to push certain narratives, you know, some matches are not going to be awesome. This happened right to be, but I don't know. I don't like that because it's supposed to be organic. The live wrestling, this is not something that, as the match went on, you know, I accepted it more because the match was good. But if the match would have been terrible, then, you know, it would have made that feel 10 times worse. And there's no guarantee that every time they pipe that in, that the match is going to be good. Because you start piping that stuff in and a match sucks or someone is just not over and you start trying to push a certain narrative, it's going to backfire on them completely.
Do we have an exact running time of the match, DT?
I'll get that in a second because I know on the Patreon predictions contest, a lot of people, because, you know, it was cute because there were some people out there, they followed Meltzer. And Meltzer wrote on his website that, oh, the match went 35 minutes long. So what happened? I had a bunch of people on Patreon send in a predictions tiebreaker at 35 minutes. Yeah. And I even had a few people that said to me, like, DT, just to let you know, Dave Meltzer said it was 35 minutes. I said, was Dave Meltzer there? With all due respect, I mean, I'm a subscriber to Dave Meltzer, but if Meltzer was not there, I would not take that as fact. And a lot of people with their tiebreakers did right around 35 minutes. Well, guess what? The official time in the match was 44 minutes and 45 seconds. Where did that other 11 minutes come from? So, again, people out there need to really stop reading everything that you read because you're bored and think of it as fact. Now, the big news going around, we don't even know if it happened. There's only one spot that I think where it might have happened, but I did not see. Did you see any signs towards the end of the match of Edge favoring any of his triceps?
Not really. No, I heard about that too. I didn't see it for myself. If I go back and rewatch it, like with a fine tooth comb, maybe I will, but not from the viewing that I saw just now.
No. And, you know, the only spot that I paid attention in a match because I was curious to see if there was going to be a particular spot that gave it away. And there was really nothing that gave it away, but there was one spot that kind of concerned me a little bit, but it may have had nothing to do with the tricep whatsoever. If he's injured. But, there was one point where Randy Orton, like, threw Edge into the ropes. And I don't know if he was supposed to go neck first or something with the ropes. And it looked like Edge's forearm, like, shot back from the ropes. Yeah. When I saw that spot, I said, okay, maybe that's where he got it. But people need to understand, too. I'm not comparing myself to Edge, but I'm going to make a point. And the video's still online. When I fell off that ladder and I landed, you know, on my shoulder and my arm for a year and a half. I had a torn bicep, I had a torn labrum, and a torn muscle in my shoulder. I had pain for a year and a half, but I never bothered to really check it out because I just didn't think it. I thought it was just a deep sprain that never seemed to go away. There are different, you know, tears. A tear is never good, but with his tricep, hopefully it's just a slight tear. And then if that's the case, they give him surgery. You know, look, when you're a professional wrestler, you got to be able to have full strength in your arm. So even though if it's a light tear, Edge, I don't want to say his career is over, but his career will be on hiatus for an extended period of time.
Yeah, I mean, we don't know exactly. I guess we'll get the news in the next day or two, maybe probably tomorrow, but if it is, you know, it's a shame. I know you wanted to make a big comeback, but you know, that match is going to go down legendary. Was it one of the best, though, DT, of all time?
No, no. It was, I don't think it was, I think it was just more of, you know, like they, that's why I think the crowd chant was spliced in. That's why I think the Howard Finkel touch was added to it. That's why I think some of the, you know, the aspects of the match was the way it is. To just try to make it almost like, it's almost like when you go to a circus and you're like, yeah, the strongest man in the world, you know, and it's not really the strongest man in the world, but it is impressive to a certain extent. So is it one of my top 10 pro wrestling matches of all time? Absolutely not. But did it outperform WrestleMania? By far.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They definitely made up for it. I think it's, though, one of the better, say in the last 10 years, one of the better WWE matches.
10 years, I think, there's a lot of matches I come up with in 10 years. I mean, this match was excellent, but, you know, we're in the COVID era. So, you know, anything that looks remotely good, you know, gets overly enhanced. I mean, was this one of the greatest matches in the last 10 years? No, not in my opinion. It was an excellent match.
How about over the COVID times?
I don't know. I don't, you know, when you do it in front of 10,000 fans and there's less restrictions and you have everything organic, and plus the storylines would have probably been built up a lot differently. I can't guess how it would be if it was non-COVID, but I will say this, in the COVID era so far, you know, it's probably in the top five as far as top matches that we've seen across wrestling, period. But it was excellent. It was excellent. I cannot rip this match at all. I cannot. I mean, for pure wrestling standpoint, it could arguably be match of the year so far. I've always said, I don't pay attention to wrestling ratings as far as matches go. But, you know, something tells me that that match will probably get like 4.5 stars as far as Meltzer goes. I don't see him giving it a 5-star match.
Yeah, I don't see it. Like I said, it'll be well remembered. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know, we had some other matches to discuss, and you know, for everybody tuning in live, much love as always. Yeah. We apologize in advance. You know, you go through the matches. There's maybe two matches that, not even one of them's not even a match, but. You know, this recap is going to be a fairly quick one. It might even be the quickest recap that we have done in years, but
might be the quickest recap of all time.
Yeah, the greatest quickest recap of all time, the greatest shortest recap of all time.
You and don't forget, everybody, notes,
we're right back here in 24 hours another show. So if anything transpires between tonight and tomorrow, we'll get into it. But you know, we had the pre-show today. And it was Apollo Crews retaining the U.S. title, defeating Andrade. Angel Garza, you know, or as Kevin Owens calls him, not so Angel Garza, tried to get involved in the match and a little bit of distraction, and Crews gets the win. What'd you think of this match?
It was okay. I mean, like I told you, Apollo, I'm taking a shine to Apollo lately. I like that, you know, the comeback story, the, you know, deserving of it. Gets the win, and again, I'll push the narrative that Andrade's got to turn babyface. He's done as a heel, losing too much. I think the only way for him to get some fire back is go babyface.
What do you think of Kevin Owens' look tonight?
It was okay with the tie. Yeah, it was all right.
Yeah.
I have a love-hate thing with Kevin Owens.
Is this all planned for a heel turn and him turning?
That's what
I'm
saying. I don't know. Is it maybe start pulling a Big Show heel, babyface heel? He's going to bounce back and forth. I'm not sure what they're doing with him. Like, what is his deal? I don't know.
I mean, you know, he was there, I guess, to prevent Angel Garza from interfering.
Right.
Which kind of worked, but I don't know the point of that. I don't know. But
I think they're gonna turn. I think it's gonna be a double turn. I think it's gonna be Andrade babyface, and I think
Owens
will go heel. You know, I mean, they gotta change some things up. I mean, who's Apollo gonna face? Who's his next contender?
No, I know, but I'm just saying Andrade is not extremely like fluent in English, the character, and Kevin Owens arguably might be the number one baby face on Raw or close to it. So if unless they're planning on doing something dramatically different on Raw, I don't know. I don't know if that's a smart thing for them to do, but you know, he already had his feud with Seth Rollins. He's already had his feud with a few other people. What do you do with Kevin Owens right now? Well, it just feels like it's Jody. I don't know if you just want me to tweet fuck you. You just bend over and I'll put the Vaseline in your ass because what am I hating on? I just said this was a fucking great match. And I just said that I don't know what they're doing with Kevin Owens. I don't want them to turn heel. How's that haterade? It's called analysis, opinion. Seriously, bend over so I can give it to you.
Good Lord.
No, but
here's the thing, DT. What if they turn out so Owens can get to Drew McIntyre? Maybe they don't want him to face, if he can beat Apollo or, you know, he's on the U.S. title level now. So it's a little bit of a step down for Owens instead of, you know, where does McIntyre go from here? He decisively beat Lashley. Jinder Mahal's out injured. So who's Drew Mac's next opponent? So maybe to elevate Owens, they got to turn him heel so they can justify him going against Drew McIntyre.
I said last Monday to ruin a lot of those bullshit websites. Brock Lesnar. I think Lesnar may be coming back sooner than later. He's needed.
It's possible.
Huh? He's needed. I mean,
oh, no, he's definitely needed. You just never know with this fucking company lately.
Yeah, I don't know. I hope, you know, even if Dijakovic comes to Raw, you know, it's just, he's not a household name yet. Granted, there aren't any crowd there, you know, organic fans that, you know, you don't see them putting their hands on their asses. So the NXT cast members will react to Dijakovic, however WWE, you know, what direction WWE puts him in. But, you know, again, you know, shout out to everybody who said Velveteen Dream was the debuting last week, Chelsea Green the week before, you know, dopes.
I said Chelsea Green.
Oh, you did too?
Yeah,
but you read it from other people, though. It's the other people that are the ones that started that dopey shit.
I follow her on her stuff, and I thought she was making indications that she was.
I think she'll end up going. I just don't know. Chris, I did not pick my nose. What are you talking about?
A lot of acknowledgement of the people.
People are bugging tonight. But, well, getting back to the pay-per-view, we had Sasha Banks and Bayley retain their tag titles, defeating Alexa Bliss, Nikki Cross, and the Iconics. You know, Sean Spears on social media putting over, you know, his woman. You know, Peyton Royce is talented, but Billy Kay, I invite anyone again, seriously, go back and watch that match. Watch, they put her to start off the match. Just remember that. And all I want you to do is watch that match again, but just stay glued to Billy Kay. Just see that, I don't want to go into, you know, dangerous territory, but it was a hot mess. She is a hot mess. I mean, she can't even sell punches. She's falling when she's not supposed to. She's stumbling and bumbling. And, you know, the match was fun, but I don't understand. I mean, again, if they were not from Australia and they were from Austin, you know, would they be on television? Would she be on television? I don't know.
No, and not at all, actually. Actually, I wrote something about her being so bad in the ring. It was kind of appealing in like a sarcastic way. I said, she's so bad in the ring, it's kind of hot. Her talking is not that good. Before anybody says her promos, she's not that good on the mic that it could justify her not getting better in the ring. Right, DT? I mean, she's not Roddy Piper here. I mean, how good is she on the mic? She's basically being snarky and sarcastic and like doing a little cutesy gimmick. Again, I don't know how they can justify it. I saw her take that bump tonight when she fell on her back, and she did almost like she put her arms out like she was in wrestling school. I don't know how she gets away with not getting better. Peyton Royce has gotten better. We acknowledge that. She has gotten better. Billy Kay is dragging her down, I'll be honest with you.
I am hating now because Billy Kay just she brings that team down horribly. Just because she could be annoying on the microphone and she's attractive, it's not enough. And when you're in WWE, you're supposed to, it's not just being able to handle the schedule. It's not just being able to handle the pressure emotionally and the grind physically. But you also have to be able to bring it to some extent in the ring. And, you know, I just, I don't get it. I don't get it. It's enough time now where really, you know, let's go back. I don't like comparing people to other people. But, you know, granted, Billy Kay is probably still on the roster because of Peyton Royce. Because they want their flawless, you know, they want their iconics. They, you know, they want their, you know, that version of it. And without Billy Kay, what do you do with Peyton Royce? I don't know what you do with her. Just like when Michelle McCool was with Layla. Once they split up, it really, Layla was not the same when she was singles. Nah. And everybody wanted to see them together. So Billy Kay right now, I think, still has a job because of Peyton Royce, because of that team together. Because when you look at some people who were released, you know, not for nothing, Sarah Logan is about 1,000 times better than Billy Kay. And you look at some people released and you say to yourself, how does this person still? And look, I don't want to see anybody out of a job. But, you know, we're watching a form of entertainment. Wrestling is an art form. And when you don't do that art form well, you know, I think we have the right to criticize it. If I'm playing a piano in a piano concert and I'm fucking just hitting keys and I don't sound like I know what the fuck I'm doing, you know, I think people have a right to criticize. I don't know how to play the piano. You know, if I'm doing a Broadway play and I'm supposed to be serenading someone on a fucking ledge and instead I'm looking down on the floor and I'm fucking farting and this and that, I think people have a right to say this person is terrible. So it's not a sexist thing. It's not, you know, trying to be mean or bullying. It's just, this is an art form. And I don't think she's being paid to intentionally suck.
Yeah, and we talked about during her time off, and she's gotten a couple of, you know, significant amount of times off here and there. She hasn't bettered herself. I've seen Peyton in the ring working with her husband, Sean. I've seen her trying to get better. Quite honestly, Billy Kay posts pictures of her in dresses on the beach, hanging out, selfies. How about pose in the gym that you're working on your craft? Again, I don't know how Peyton's not rubbing off on her.
That might backfire.
I don't get it.
Because if she's got nothing but wrestling school pictures, and then you're like, what the fuck, man? You're in the school all the time. You still aren't any better. What the fuck is wrong with you? So at least if she's on the beach.
Not Billy Kay,
So at least if she's on the beach, then you could, you know, you say, you know, oh, why, you know, how come you're not any better? I'm on the beach. I'm taking the sun, you know. So if you know somebody is banging it in the batting cage 7 days a week and is still batting .190, you know, then you feel like, okay, if this person is working that hard and still only bangs .190, that person probably deserves to be released.
Right.
So.
Well, again, that's, you know, it's up to her to get better. And she's young, DT. So I don't even think she's 30.
Yeah. But, you know, the shelf life of women wrestlers is a lot smaller, shorter than male wrestlers. Yep, I hope she could turn it up because I see no sign of it as of right now. So, Alexa Bliss, I actually am paying a little bit more attention to, and even her timing is getting a lot better. And, you know, if you actually, in my opinion, you look at her from maybe like 6 months ago, I think she's starting to get a little bit better. She's not, you know, no polished superstar or anything like that, but she, you know, maybe Nikki Cross is actually helping her a little bit too.
Yeah, I think Alexa put on a better, again, you know, it was kind of, how bad can you get? I mean, Billy Kay was clearly the worst in the ring out of all these girls. And I thought Alexa was pretty good in the ring. I think, yeah, maybe, again, Nikki is rubbing off on Alexa, and I wish Peyton would have that effect on Billy Kay. But yeah, Alexa Bliss looked a lot better in the ring tonight, no doubt about it. I was kind of surprised of the ending, to be honest with you. Maybe it was going to be a title win.
Oh, no. I actually, in my predictions, I said, Alexa Bliss and Nikki Cross were about to get the win, and Sasha would go in there and steal it. Steal it.
You actually said that, right?
I'm not saying it to, like, brag, but I made a concerted effort Friday to remind everyone that this feels way too predictable. Even the Lashley-Drew McIntyre match felt really fucking predictable. The minute you have Lana in the back and have an interaction with MVP, I'm like, oh, here we go. We'll get into that a little bit later. But by the way, for those who are asking, Green Day actually did have the theme song for the pay-per-view. It is called Oh Yeah. And, you know, I don't know how much WWE would want young fans out there to search out Green Day's new album, which came out in February, but the name of the album is Father of All Motherfuckers. So they actually did come out with a new album.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, a little retro feel to it. I had no problem with it. I liked it a lot better than Blood Orange or Orange Juice or whatever their name was. Code Orange, I think they were.
Code Orange.
Yeah, even though I actually said this on Wednesday, after some people brought to my attention some other music that Code Orange did, I'm like, okay, they're actually not bad. I think I was making fun more of the lip syncing and whatever that guy was doing in the back.
Code Orange has a big following. Like I said, it's more of a band for people a little bit younger than me and you. Yeah. So, but they're a good band.
Yeah, Extreme Rules, July 19th. So everybody can mark that down on your calendar. Next, we had Jeff Hardy versus Sheamus. You know, I said this Friday that it was just odd to have Jeff Hardy pin Sheamus clean a couple of weeks ago. Just felt like Sheamus had so much momentum with his return, and it just felt like it just felt out of place. Sheamus winning tonight does not ruin Jeff Hardy's attempt at a you know, possibly another championship down the line. His career is not derailed. You know, WWE, and I've said this before, I have no problem with the storyline. And if you listen to Michael Cole closely, I think there is some messages to Jeff Hardy in this storyline. When Michael Cole said tonight, which he said before, that there are no more chances for Jeff Hardy in the WWE, this is his shot. And if he screws up again, he's out. And that's not storyline. So they played this into a storyline, but it's also, you know, a reminder for Jeff Hardy that I can't pick up alcohol again. I can't pick up, you know, medicinal, you know, substances again, because I'll be out of a WWE job, you know, and that's just the way it is. Sheamus, I just felt needed to get this win. Only because, you know, Sheamus' return, you know, it felt his loss derailed him more than Jeff Hardy's loss tonight. I thought they had a great fucking match tonight. You take Edge and Randy Orton's match, put it aside. Jeff Hardy and Sheamus tonight was my favorite match.
Really? You didn't think Jeff was like a little off timing?
A little here, a little there. You know, a lot of people thought early on that the match may have been edited a little bit because he abruptly had a lot of makeup off his face. But when I actually rewound it back a little bit, it looks like that maybe just from, you know, just the way his body landed with Sheamus, that some of it came off quicker than usual. But it did look like maybe there was a couple of minutes chopped off of it. Who knows? Maybe something happened early in the match that might have just knocked Jeff Hardy off his game a little bit. But overall, you know, I want to see a third match between the two. I really do want to see another match. I thought they really did a great job tonight.
So you think this is not over, is basically what you said?
No, I don't think it's over. It's just a lot of near falls. A lot of people thought Jeff Hardy was going to win when he hit the Swanton. But in the end, Sheamus, you know, hit him with the bro kick and got the win. But I enjoyed that match.
I didn't like the first half of it. The way it closed the last few minutes, I liked. And I guess Sheamus had to get the win. He couldn't get beat. As long as it goes on to mean something. Because I still think Jeff's got the popularity to, I've said this before, to get one more title run. But I think Sheamus has the chops to get elevated to main event title picture.
I don't know. It's way too early because you got fucking
ho ho ho
Green Giants
as the heavyweight champion. So I don't know if I want to see Jeff Hardy versus
ho ho ho
Green Giants.
So for new listeners, whenever we talk about Braun Strowman, that comes out. So and it actually gets passed through. It's actually accepted. I can actually play that, but you know, with Braun Strowman as the champion right now, I don't know. It just feels that, look, Jeff Hardy's one of the most popular wrestlers on the WWE roster.
Sure.
You know, I mentioned this on Friday. A lot of younger fans that grew up with the Hardys are now in their 30s and 40s. You know what I mean? So Jeff Hardy trying to get that younger audience that really does not know much other than seeing the network or, you know, being reminded of matches from, you know, when you're a young wrestling fan and you did not go through the Attitude Era, you did not go through the feuds of Edge, Christian, the Hardys, the Dudleys, and other teams. And you look at, you know, how week after week after week, we watched these guys turn from 1995 getting squashed by Waylon Mercy and Papa Shango, whoever else, you know, I don't know if it was Shango, but, you know, to see them at that point and then go with Michael P.S. Hayes. And then weren't they the Brood for a short period of time? Didn't Michael P.S. Wasn't that with what the fuck's his name? With the fangs. The fangs.
Gangrel.
Yeah, Gangrel. I was thinking of his Heath, you know, David Heath's name. I couldn't remember Gangrel. But didn't Gangrel come out with the Hardys for a short period of time?
I could have sworn it was Terry and Michael Hayes.
I could swear that Gangrel came up with the Hardys, with the Flames.
Did he?
For a couple of, it might have even just been one time. I mean, look, Michael Hayes was with the Hardys for sure. But I could swear, I don't know why it's in my head, but I could swear that one time the Hardys came up with the Flames to Gangrel's music. Yeah, Robbie James says that he did. Yes, I'm telling you, I remember it for a short period of time. Yeah, that's how close I followed the career. And then look, you know, you had, I don't need to get into the whole retrospect of their careers, but they were the New Brood. That's right. They were the New Brood.
They were the New Brood. It was very, very short. It was
A couple of weeks. Yeah, but the thing is that if you were a young fan now and you didn't live through their entire careers, what gets you going when you see them? Just the makeup? Right. Just, you know what I mean? There's got to be a little bit more to it. So the real life sympathy, I think, kind of helps it a little bit. But, you know, for his age, And you got to remember this too. And I'm not becoming a softy like this, but I'm going to say it. The guy took some medicinal substances and alcohol to shield the pain. So now he's got to go through this pain, and it's a battle because you can't just simply just grab some vodka or grab a painkiller. Or, you know, or Xanax, you know, to relax, to sleep, or, you know what I mean? So he is going through tremendous battles right now because he can't numb the pain. So when I see Jeff Hardy maybe a little off, the first thing I think about is, you know, he feels everything that he's getting right now, and he's not a spring chicken anymore. So I kind of give Jeff Hardy a lot more leeway. You know, especially because I've been a fan of wrestling throughout his entire career.
Yeah, he'll be 43 on August 31st.
Yeah, yeah. So I enjoyed the match. I thought it was good.
Yeah, not bad. Yeah, not bad.
And, you know, look, let me make this clear, everybody. I'm not saying it was a fucking phenomenal, awesome match. We're talking about Backlash. We're not talking about 2020. We're not talking about the history of Backlash. We're not talking about the history of WWE pay-per-views. Just talking about tonight. Tonight. Next, we had Miz and Morrison, you know, with their 80s-esque music video. Hey, hey, ho, ho, Strowman wet the bed till he's six. Hey, hey, ho, ho. What'd you think of that music video?
I hated it. I put online, I thought it was garbage. I think anything, any remnants of them being funny was 10 years ago when Morrison was last here with when they first teamed up. This is not, you know, because I even put online, is it me getting older? And like, it's, you know, reminds me of DT when Shawn Michaels got back together with Triple H by himself to reform DX, you know, Vince likes cock and all that stuff. That was, you know, they were trying to be reinvent the comedy of DX from 10 years previous. And just it came off more corny than cool. I just thought it was garbage, to be honest with you.
No, I totally disagree.
I didn't think it was funny at all. I mean, you're the same age as me, so I don't know. I don't know if it's an age. Well, you're a little younger than me, 2 years. But is it an age thing? Because
no,
people around me are saying the same thing.
How old is Morrison?
42.
How old is Triple H now?
Triple H is 51.
So he was about the same age as what Morrison is now. Here's the difference. Triple H and Shawn Michaels, when they redid DX, they look like parents doing DX. Triple H, we know he had kids. Shawn Michaels had a family. It looked like a pair of dads doing D-Generation X. Miz and Morrison, although, you know, there's children involved there as well, Miz still comes off of like, you know, an older preppy guy. He doesn't come off like the middle-aged dad that should be home, you know, changing diapers and, you know, hanging out in the yard, barbecuing and stuff. Last week, I had flashbacks of WWE Swerved when Miz and Morrison were in the van. I mean, granted, what the thing with Strowman was a little bit awful last week, but Miz and Morrison, they look like they're having fucking fun with what they're doing. And they don't come across as two middle-aged dads doing these skits. That's why I like Miz and Morrison. And that's why I was not so keen on D-Generation X in 07, 08. So I enjoyed it, man. I enjoyed it. I thought the music video was lighthearted. It's hokey. But some things in wrestling are hokey. I mean, you know, we go back and we look at some of the ridiculously awful skits in the 80s and the 90s. I don't think enough people actually, like, think back to, like, some of the things. Some of those were
funny, like with Slick, with Akeem. Like we talked about it all the time, Mr. Perfect and the Genius. Some of those, obviously, the stuff with Orton and Booker T., Austin. A lot of that stuff was funny. Attitude Era, even Ruthless Aggression Era. I just think that it's kind of real lackluster comedy. And let's be honest, DT, they got back together when there were still crowds in the arena and they were doing this stuff, and the audience didn't seem to react to it at all. So
yeah, I know, but you know, look, the whole storyline with Braun Strowman was comedy, and when they added that stipulation during the pay per view, that Miz Morrison, whichever of you pin Braun, you're the sole champion. You can't both be champions. That pretty much ruined the match right there, because you could see it already. When Morrison goes for the pin, Miz is going to be like, the fuck you doing? Miz goes for the pin, Morrison's going to be like, the fuck you doing? And WWE's not stupid. They threw that stipulation in there during the pay-per-view. Because if they would have put that stipulation out there a week, 2 weeks ago, everybody would have been like, oh, this fucking sucks. Braun's going to retain the Miz and Morrison. Maybe they tease a split, blah, 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 blah. So they waited till the pay-per-view to spring that on there. This whole storyline, again, look at SmackDown. What network on Fox? I keep saying it. A lot of people still don't understand why I say this. It's not SmackDown on Fox, like the Twitter account is. It's not SmackDown on Fox. It's Fox on SmackDown. A lot of the decision-making and the type of content that Fox is looking to get at 8 o'clock on a Friday is more kid-friendly. That's why you have Braun Strowman fucking doing the worm and dancing like a goof, and you have like cartoon characters, and you see certain things in a comedy skits with Braun. That's all, you know, designed for the demographic that they're appealing to more than anything else. You know, I think people sometimes need to take a step back and realize that, you know, when you look at the demographics, you don't see skits like that on NXT. Because the average NXT viewer is 52 years old, I believe. I saw something today that the average baseball fan, get a load of this. They did a big study on this. Guess the age of the average baseball fan.
I'm going to say over 50.
Yeah, you're close. 57.
57.
The average age of a baseball fan is 57. They have not done enough to target the young fans out there. So you go back to WWE and wrestling, NXT, the average fan is 52 years old. So you don't see the skits like you see on Fox. You get to a certain extent, you maybe Keith Lee with the flashlight under his chin and stuff like that, but for the most part, you don't get that stuff. So, you know, you got to just remember they're on regular television. They're not on cable on Fridays. They're on regular Fox, Channel 5. If this was 10 years ago, I'd be watching it in my boat with a fucking antenna attached to my windshield. You know, so it's regular television. So you're going to see more of the childish behavior, the antics. And I think Miz, Morrison, I think together, it's goofy, it's corny, but they're probably two of the best guys that could pull it off. So if you're going to do it, I'd rather it be them than to be the Street Profits and the Viking Raiders.
That's true.
So anyway, we ended up having, you know, Miz hit the skull-crushing finale, and Morrison got into the match, and Strowman, you know, ended up getting the upper hand, and you had Strowman pin Morrison. And, you know, Miz is outside the ring, and, you know, he's all distraught. Look, this was strictly, a lot of people thought that Braun was going to pin both of them. Just stack them on top of each other, a la Big Show, Andre the Giant, just pin them both. But we got him pinning Morrison, which kind of makes sense because of the storyline where Morrison put Miz in a match with Strowman not too long ago.
That's true.
So, it was a throwaway match. I mean,
it was.
I was hoping to see The Fiend come back tonight. We didn't get that.
I was thinking that too. Yeah, that's what I was kind of holding out hope for, but nope.
I thought Lars coming to SmackDown is a crazy fucking monster. I would have loved to have seen that happen. That hasn't happened either. So right now, it's Braun Strowman overcoming the comedy skits. Suddenly, Miz and Morrison won't fuck with Braun Strowman's car anymore.
No.
Poor Grand National, man. That car is getting abused. The windshield
like
on that car.
I like that car, DT. You like that car?
I love that car. I always wanted one when I was a kid. That's why I think I still got my Lincoln Mark 7 because it looks a lot like the Grand National. Nice. And I had a Buick Regal. I posted pictures for everybody before. I had the two-tone Buick Regal. That's the same fucking car. The only difference is the Grand National is jacked up. And it's like my car on steroids with a cool paint job. That's pretty much what Braun Strowman has. So, but next we had Lashley versus Drew McIntyre. This was Bobby Lashley's first championship opportunity since the 2007 Great American Bash, where he lost to John Cena. Little trivia question for everybody out there. Five people that were on tonight's Backlash pay-per-view also wrestled on the Great American Bash 2007. Any idea who those five people are?
You're asking the fans of me.
I'll ask you, because you're the voice for them.
Give me the question again.
All right. Lashley's opportunity tonight was the first time that he's got a championship opportunity since the 2007 WWE Great American Bash. Okay. That pay-per-view, Lashley lost to John Cena. So besides Lashley, there were four other people tonight that were on Backlash that also wrestled on 2007 Great American Bash 13 years ago. Could you guess the other four?
MVP.
Okay, yes. He wrestled Matt Hardy.
Let me think. Who's here now? Who's from back then? Jeez, the chat room's going to have to save me.
All right, MVP is one. MVP. I'll say this for some people guessing. Miz is not one of them. Neither is Edge. Edge did not wrestle on that card.
Randy Orton,
he was on that card. He wrestled Dusty Rhodes.
Jeff Hardy.
Jeff Hardy wrestled Umaga. God rest his soul. And
Morrison?
Morrison wrestled CM Punk.
Okay, good. I'm just coming back. It takes a little while for my 52-year-old brain to warm up.
Yeah.
I remember that. I think I have it actually on fucking DVD.
Yeah, this was the feud when this was right around the time when MVP and Matt Hardy were playing hoops. I think they ended up playing hoops after.
Yes, I remember the basketball thing. Yes.
Yeah, they were going to play hoops. I think after this, they were playing hoops, and I think they feuded with Deuce and Domino, and they may have won the tag titles.
That was the year, 2000. That was the year I was in the process of moving to Queens from Brooklyn. Yep, I remember.
Yeah. But anyway, you know, the match tonight before it started, you had Bobby Lashley put the, whatever you want to call it, the full Nelson. Some people call it the master lock. He puts the full Nelson on Drew, doesn't want to break it. So you look at it immediately one of two ways. He's softening Drake, so Drake is injured throughout the whole match and he loses. Or it's to make, Drew. It's to make Drew overcome that sneak attack, so it makes him look even stronger when he gets the win. But match was good. They actually had some pretty damn good chemistry together. Some points, I honestly started thinking that maybe Lashley could take this. I still think Drew McIntyre, they want to try to have this last another month or two, see if they can get this, you know, buzzing on the net. But in the end, it was a clusterfuck finish. You know, just when Bobby Lashley was getting the upper hand, it looked like he may actually beat Drew McIntyre. We have Lana come out, and I don't know what the fuck she was saying. She's like looking at the referee going, "You cheated. You cheated. You cheated." I'm like, oh, here we go. Lashley almost bumps into her. She gets scared. Ultimately, he does bump into her. He gets distracted. Claymore kick, 1, 2, 3, over. Bobby Lashley loses.
Surprised. I didn't make official picks, but I thought Lashley might win the title. This would be his opportunity. And the Lana bump, bad bump, and she fell into, gingerly fell into MVP. Not that I wanted to fall hard way and get hurt, but it was a kind of a fuck finish. And, you know, I wasn't big on that match at all. I mean, it was cool the way you actually thought he might make quick work of Drew in the beginning, putting the full Nelson on him. You even thought he might beat him. I thought for a second, I was like, wow, he's actually going to beat him. But then, you know, you kind of realize this ain't going to happen. And I just thought the finish was kind of weak. You know what I mean? One Claymore and knocked out Big Lashley.
Yeah. It's, look, there was a lot of rumblings that Drew was going to possibly feud with Jinder. But Jinder's injured. His knee scoped. So he's going to be out for a little bit. And I'm telling you, I did it Monday to be a dick, just like I did on Friday about the Roman Reigns return rumors. And it was funny because after I put that up, Roman Reigns, somebody paid $500 to get a cameo video from Roman Reigns. And Roman Reigns said that they're still in a pandemic and he'll be back soon. Just said it like that. It was pretty funny because they had just, burst the bubbles of some websites on Friday. But last Monday, I wasn't kidding what I said. Canada is starting to ease restrictions. Right. For Canadian travel, and the USA is starting to as well. So it would not be out of the realm of WWE getting Brock Lesnar back sooner than later, possibly to get a return feud with Drew McIntyre. And hell, everybody's been talking about that fantasy match with Lashley versus Brock. Maybe they turn it into a three-way. You might have Brock Lesnar versus Bobby Lashley versus Drew McIntyre for the championship. Yeah. That is possible.
Not bad.
So we'll see. So that's it for my notes tonight, because the last two segments that we had, I don't even know where I could have even written anything.
I have to go by memory on those two. It was too much to, we'll break it down.
We had the street problem.
What about Nia and Oscar? Did we mention that?
No, we're going to get to that. We're going to get to that. There's a reason why I held off on that.
Okay.
So we get to Street Profits. Unless you want to talk about Nia and Oscar now.
Yeah, why don't we just knock it out so that we can just get into the closing two things that we have to kind of more explain. So.
All right. I was hoping that Nia Oscar would be the next to last match tonight. Then I realized why we had the Street Profits and the Viking Raiders segment, because they wanted to leave everybody with as far away of a wrestling match going into Edge, Randy Orton. I know there's a lot of people that are very negative on Nia Jax. I criticized her 2 weeks ago as well. I think her number one problem is that she has to know when to step back if her opponent is not ready or on the same pace as her. You know, sometimes you go off pace. I mean, I know you really can't see it behind me because I had the thing here, but right now behind me, I have two of those super chat things going. Both of them right now are exact, and they both say 11:01 p.m. But after a while, the timing on one is off from the other, and it gets a little bit out of whack. When Nia Jax is in the ring, you know, she's got to sometimes, if somebody is not set up properly or not ready, she can't just pretty much say in her brain, fuck it, we got to keep going, you know, and do what we got to do. And that's where injuries come. She had the match with Asuka. It was a decent match, but it probably ended the best way that it could, and that is a double count out, because by doing this, Nia is not pinned, so this feud continues. Asuka doesn't win. She doesn't get, you know, the revenge for Kairi or anything else, so this is to be continued. It was a good match for what it lasted. I saw people immediately jumping down Nia Jax's throat because of the clothesline that she does. And I think a lot of people, you know, aren't used to realizing that when Nia Jax does her clothesline, she does it more of a shoulder than her, you know, forearm, you know. So it looks a little quirky on TV. And, you know, when Asuka was selling her head, you know, during that match, right after that, right away, people just jumped and said, oh, she injured her too. I thought the match was fine. Asuka, you know, could make a statue look good in the ring.
That's true.
You know, she's fucking great. There's a reason why, you know, I say Charlotte is number one over the last 10 years. I put Asuka number two. If Asuka had better English and could actually cut some charismatic promos, and it's not just charismatic promos for us to be entertained. The one thing that Charlotte has is when she's facing an opponent, she'll pretty much brutally, I don't want to get too explicit, but she'll brutally attack or belittle her opponent just by what she says. Like, she could just put you down and embarrass you and put you in your place just by speaking, just by the words coming out of her mouth.
Yeah.
You know, Asuka, she's entertaining. You know, so it's fun and it's entertaining. But when she's facing someone and she's feuding with someone and that person is all confident, you know, Charlotte could pretty much just kind of cyber bully you, like put you, make you feel like you're 2 feet tall, make you Joey 924 height. You know, that's what Asuka can't do. But in the ring, Asuka's a general, and it was a great match. But it just ended in a bullshit double count out. So this feud continues.
Yeah, I mean, I guess they had to that. This way, neither one looks weak. They don't look strong, but they don't look weak. You know what I mean, so it continues.
You know, we'll talk about it tomorrow because I know Mick Foley came to the defense of Nia Jax. We'll talk about that tomorrow. But for now, you know, they're not doing anything with Shayna Baszler, with Asuka. They're not doing anything with some others. There's rumors that Charlotte will be next in line to feud with Asuka. Would not surprise me. Again, you go back to the three-way idea, and you got to look a step ahead, too. We got to, people really need to think about this. We have Extreme Rules in July. So you got to start thinking about who actually, and when I say Extreme Rules, I don't mean ECW, but when you think of Extreme Rules type matches, you start thinking of some people that fit perfectly with that. That's why I think there's a possibility, slight possibility that maybe Brock makes a return. I think SummerSlam is more like it, but, you know, would Nia Jax fit in for more of a brawl type, you know, brawling outside the ring. That might actually be better than her landing some of the moves that she does inside the ring. Yeah. So we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I honestly, you know, I thought this would be the second and to the last match of the night. But instead, we got the Street Profits and the Viking Raiders. You know, I thought in the end, if one of the Viking Raiders would have woken up from a bad dream, or if one of them was just drunk, passed out, which WWE's not going to do on TV with the Street Profits. If you remember on Monday, I said that in the end, the Street Profits and the Viking Raiders are going to be friends. I said Monday, I said that they're going to get sick of beating each other up, that they actually were going to share a beer and have a good laugh and become friends. That's what I said on Monday's show. And during this tonight, we had the formation of the Viking Profits. Basically, how this goes down is we think they're going to have a match. And next thing you know, they're brawling in the back. We got, you know, the Street Profits with golf clubs. We have the Viking Raiders with the shields and I guess the axes or whatever. And they're brawling in the back. And we're seeing flashbacks of the other skits. We see the fucking turkey legs. We see bowling. We see this. And it seemed like every time somebody got knocked into a daze, they started flashbacking at the feud. Like this one's thinking about, you know, when they were in the golf course. This one's thinking about bowling. This one's thinking about this. A lot of comedy fodder. The music was comedy fodder. We had one point where, you know, I was it Eric who bowled in the back, threw the bowling ball, kind of little retro of Al Snow in a WWE hardcore match.
Yeah.
Hitting, you know, one of the Street Profits in the nuts. I know, what'd you think of the whole segment?
I thought that was funnier than Miz and Morrison, to be honest with you. Not the whole thing, but parts of it. Towards the latter part, once they went outside and teamed up to go against Tozawa and the biker crew, the biker boys, it was bizarre. It was like a real mind fuck. You're talking about, I was hoping I'd wake up from it. I didn't know what I was watching at some point. Even I was, you know, having fun with our Patreon chat. I was like, what are we watching here? So again, it wasn't anything remotely on the level of entertaining of AJ Undertaker WrestleMania, that kind of outside skit thing. But it was kind of humorous. It was weird. You didn't know where it was going to go. And, you know, Montez Ford has charisma for days. He's so good. You know that greater things are ahead for him. You could see it. He's got it written all over him. The other guys did a good job of you know, trying to do the comedy fodder, like you said. All four of them did their best. No one was dragging it. I think they were having fun, literally, which is always important. If they're enjoying themselves, like I said again, if the Viking Raiders, who are this big, dangerous Road Warriors-like team down in Japan and Ring of Honor and this reputation, that is shot to hell. Again, I find them to be the new Bushwhackers, which is fine. You know, again, that's what WWE sees in them. That's fine. If they're having a good time and making good money, that's great. I'm sure a lot of their diehard fans from when they were back at ROH and New Japan are disappointed. But I thought it was okay. And you were right, DT. They wound up being friends. You had said that before. They're going to wind up. I didn't know they were going to go after the Tozawa's crew, whatever that was. It was cool that they included Tozawa in something. I know you and me have sung his praises before, Tozawa. It was just something to basically to avoid having a regular match, because if you saw when it ended, Phillip said, of course, now we're not going to be able to have this match. They took up 20 minutes of TV time. Right. So it was better than anything that they would have done had they had a match. So let me put it this way. I enjoyed that more than I would have enjoyed seeing them have a match for 10 minutes in the ring regular style. I was more fine with the skit, to be honest with you.
See,
it was okay.
This is why I enjoyed it. I thought it was funny I reiterate this. You know, I want people, again, you ain't getting fucking 2 hours of Ring of Honor, 2 hours of New Japan. You're getting entertainment. And in WWE's eyes, if they can knock off 20 minutes. This is the funny thing, what I saw today. We're not getting into the Paul Heyman topic tonight, but I'll say it like this. When this started to come off as sucking for a lot of people early on. The one thing I kept seeing written over and over again is, see, fucking Bruce Pritchard. See, fucking Bruce Pritchard. See, fucking Bruce Pritchard. I didn't even bother acknowledging it, but my response to that is, where the fuck were all of you the last 4 or 5 weeks when they're bowling, playing golf, miniature golf, doing this, fucking tossing axes, eating turkey legs? Who was writing that? Seriously, who was writing that? So you were fine with the last 5 fucking 6 weeks, but you're not fine with tonight? Oh, look, see, Bruce Pritchard. Did Bruce Pritchard like write the last 5 weeks? I thought it was funny. It was stupid in some ways. Again, it should have ended with one of them waking up from a dream, especially when we have some fucking garbage creature in a garbage bin. You know, I mean, that just made zero sense. Now, with Tozawa showing up on the fucking katanas with his buddies and they're all masked outfits, kind of like ninjas, and it was like a bad 80s kung fu skit. It was bad, but it was funny. It was goofy. But, you know, I keep in perspective. Everything with the Viking Raiders and the Street Profits the last 5 or 6 weeks has been goofy. So tonight was the pinnacle of the goofiness. The goofiness continued.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Yeah.
But, you know, the Tozawa thing was random. Didn't make sense. But, again, this was so they could align. You know, we have Eric. Is it Eric who everybody is attracted to? Ivar. It's
Ivar.
Yeah, Ivar. Yeah. Ivar's in the garbage thing, and he's reminiscent of all the ladies that thought that he was
cute. That was funny.
Cute, but Eric, not so much. And then we have the WWE referee, the female referee, say the same thing. You know, you're supposed to have a match. But at the very end, when we see the fucking tail of a sea creature or whatever the fuck that was in the bin with them, they should have had somebody just wake up shaking their heads like, you know, that they just had a crazy dream or something like, or even be in a locker room. Maybe Eric fell asleep or Ivar fell asleep and, you know, the match doesn't happen. They just had a crazy fucking dream. That's what it kind of should have been. To me, it should have ended in, it was just somebody having a crazy ass dream, you know, but it was over the top. It was goofy. I don't know. I had a couple of laughs out of it.
I thought it was kind of fun. I watch it again. Someone was saying to me, I mean, if you remember Star Wars, I think the original Star Wars, they were in a trash compactor and there was a monster in there. So it's kind of a takeoff on that. If anybody remembers that. I thought, I would probably watch it again.
A lot of people are saying that Shaq was one of the ninjas. Is that legit?
I thought it was one of the, isn't there a tall African-American gentleman about 7 feet in developmental? What's his name? Correct, right? There's a big giant guy. I've seen him on camera a couple of times. I thought he was the guy who played the ninja, actually.
Nobody comes to mind to me.
It wasn't Shaq.
To be honest with you. A lot of people are saying, you know, look, it would be interesting with Shaq's TV show, his reality show, if he just did this ninja thing. Because, look, he is a big wrestling fan. But I don't think that was Shaq. Whoever it was moved around extremely, extremely well. I don't know. I'll find out. Maybe I'll know by Wednesday.
Yeah, is a guy in developmental who's...
I don't think that was Shaq. But I don't even know if every single one of them in the ninja outfits were wrestlers. I don't know. Like, we'll find out. We'll definitely find out. But look, it was a hot mess. And again, it was placed probably in the perfect spot because you wanted to be so far removed from an in-ring wrestling match. So instead of having Asuka and Nia Jax maybe be in the next to last match, we had that hot mess, which was the Viking Raiders and the Street Profits. And I say that complimentary because when that was done, like, you just wanted to see a wrestling match after that. And you got Edge and Randy Orton. So they took you so far removed from an in-ring wrestling match. So when you got Edge and Randy Orton, it would probably stand out. That, just imagine, because a lot of these matches were live tonight. Just imagine if they would have had Nia Jax, Asuka, or if they would have possibly had one of the other matches end up next to last, and they fucking tear it up, knock it out of the park. You know, Edge and Randy Orton was already recorded. So there was no way that any of the matches tonight were going to come close to Edge and Randy Orton. But the thing is, that was already in the bag. So they couldn't tweak things or change things or, you know. So they just decided we're going to have the fans in their minds be so far removed from the in-ring matches because of the Viking Raiders Street Profits thing. So when we segue to Edge, Randy Orton, pure wrestling.
DT, there's a guy, his name is EJ Naduka, who's about 6'7". That could have been him. Who's in?
Yeah. Well, I'm gonna do some research. Just because it's a tall black person in a ninja outfit doesn't mean it's, you know, it could be anybody.
We have to go by someone who's tall, though.
Yeah,
that's what people are saying.
Yeah, you know, I'm gonna go check it out. So yeah. I'll find out. But
EJ Naduka,
what do you think of Edge Randy Orton overall? I mean, as far as, you know, it wasn't just wrestling. You know, there was a lot of psychology involved early on during the match, but there was some brawling as well. You know, I don't know if people expected to have step over toe holds and, you know, like extreme, you know, and I don't mean extreme wrestling as far as like ECW. I mean like just real hard-nosed, collegiate, in-ring, break the ropes. You're like, I don't know if anybody started thinking that that's the type of wrestling match. We got a typical Randy Orton Edge brawl. I mean, there was tons of wrestling moves in it, but it was a brawl.
Yeah, but before I answer that, there's one more guy named Jordan, that 7'3" Nigerian guy who was brought into, and everyone's saying that's likely him.
Well, I don't say anything with L-Y's. Again, I have people. We'll find out. When we find out, we'll
7'3", that guy was pretty big.
Yeah, so. We'll find out.
You
know,
okay.
People use L-Y's. Yeah. You know, we'll find out. We'll find out. Getting back to Edge Randy Orton, what'd you think of the overall? See, I'll tell you one thing I absolutely loved in the match, which was so small, but it really stood out to me. And one thing I didn't like, and I'm not even, we already talked about the crowd noise, so we didn't even need to get into that, but one thing that I loved was there was one point where Randy Orton was going to do like that spike DDT when Edge's legs, his feet are on the ropes, you know, his ankles, and he just spikes him into the mat. And they had the camera outside the ring right in Edge's face. And Edge, beautiful facial features, had this look on his face of being scared that his head was about to get spiked into the fucking mat. And it was just the way they did that camera work. It was beautiful. The only thing I did not like was when they started to do what I have seen in the indie circuit for 20 years. A Raven Al Snow match comes to mind almost immediately. I remember Jersey All Pro Wrestling. People could Google it. You might even be able to find the match online. We went to a Jersey All Pro Wrestling event. It was Raven versus Al Snow. And I remember we were in the locker room, and they were talking about what they were going to do in the match, and they were talking about they were going to do a lot of gaga. And what they did for about 5 minutes was they did every other wrestler's finisher. They did the rock bottom. They did the stunner. They did everything you could possibly think of. And every time they would kick out. And it ended up being an entertaining match. 20 years later, I'm still talking about it. But I didn't like how they kept kicking out of every other Hall of Famer's moves, like the rock bottom, you know, the pedigree and others, you know, because I just feel like, you know, I'm sure, you know, Triple H with his blessing, but the idea that because those moves are old, they no longer have the same effect.
Right.
I didn't like the fact that they were using other people's finishers and kicking out and kicking out and kicking out. So, but
I had commented something like that, just joking around with somebody. I'm saying what they're basically showing is that those finishers don't get the job done anymore, I guess. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, but again, they wanted to keep it compelling, so I can appreciate that with the suspense level, you know, not knowing what was going to actually finish anybody off. I didn't know that the punt would be the thing that the old school Randy Orton punt to the face was going to be the way to close this out. So, you know, the false finishes and then the using the old school finishers to kick out of. Yeah, I had some little bit of a problem with that. But in the end, it was effective. And I liked, overall, I really liked the match. And I liked the way it ended with Randy punting Edge and then Randy getting down on his knees and talking to Edge in his ear and telling him, say,
go back Uncle to your Randy wife and your kids.
Yeah. Uncle Randy says a lot. Yeah, it's kind of creepy and cool at the same time. So I guess this feud continues. I think if Edge is not really hurt, well, will I have another match if he's not hurt?
Yeah, I mean, look, the injury. The match was taped on June 7th, I believe.
Right.
So, you know, I don't know if he was able to get, you know, an MRI, you know, within a couple of days and have that answer almost immediately. I mean, it is very possible, but, you know, until you actually, Edge has been very vocal online lately. He's been pretty open about things as well. I think until you actually hear it from Edge or something more official. You know, I think people out there right now, they think torn tricep. They're doing, this is what a lot of news websites will do. They think, oh, he's got a torn tricep. Let me Google the recovery time of a torn tricep. And they'll say, oh, 4 to 6 months. Edge will be out. Reportedly, there's the LY again, 4 to 6 months. People don't know. Until you actually have the diagnosis from the man himself, you know, we could all speculate. That's how I look at it. If he is out for an extended period of time, you know, that doesn't mean he can't still show up and cut a promo. Maybe there's some burying in the hatchet between Randy Orton and Edge a little bit. Maybe a little bit of mutual respect comes back. Because remember, Edge destroyed Randy Orton in the end at WrestleMania. Tonight, Randy Orton returned the favor. That was my prediction all along. There was no way, in my opinion, that Edge was going to get 2-0 on Randy Orton because Randy Orton can still go. Randy Orton, true. I talked about it on Friday, you know, when he says that he wants to wrestle 10 more years. He wants to have his career last until he's 50, and he's pretty confident that he'll be able to do that because he tells a story in the ring, and he doesn't, or, you know, overly risk injury on his body. And look, freak accidents, freak injuries happen to anybody. But, you know, when he was calling out some of the NXT stars, you know, he's, in my opinion, he's right. Not everybody enjoys a Randy Orton match.
Well, there's more to invest in Randy Orton. Randy is 40. Edge is 46. Edge had much more serious injuries than Randy. So yeah, I mean, Randy would have to win. He's the guy. You got to put the you know, more of the gas behind him for the future. Randy will be around for a while. He just re-signed not that long ago, didn't he, DT? For
yes,
quite a bit of money.
As I said Friday, as did Adam Cole. Just for everybody out there that's, you know, wanting so badly to discuss Adam Cole to AEW, it's not happening anytime soon.
Yeah, so, I mean, you're right. So Edge is, you know, older, 6 years in wrestling is significant. Randy has a lot less injuries. He's built to last right now. Edge is not. So you're right. Randy had to get the win. It's the better investment for the future because Edge might not be around, but Randy will be unless Randy gets seriously hurt, knock on wood. So, yeah, the right outcome tonight. Yeah, it couldn't have been 2-0 for Edge to beat Randy. Not. I agree with the outcome.
And Edge, I don't want to say that an Undertaker schedule would be appropriate for Edge. Something tells me that Edge would want to wrestle more than once a year. So I think for now, let's find out what the deal is, if there is an injury and what it is. You know, I want to do a little bit more research to try to find out where he actually got hurt. And like I said, when I watched the match closely, it seemed like you know, it might have been when his arm shot off the rope. It just looked like it just was awkward the way it came off. I have no idea if that's what it was. But look, you know, few people tonight, very cute, bringing up the ages of Jeff Hardy, the ages of Randy Orton, the ages of Edge, and like, oh, after all of this, we got 40-year-olds, you know, focus on these shows. You have NXT takeovers. It's something you didn't have up until a few years ago. So there is a pay-per-view for the up-and-coming stars. Right now, at the end of the day, these are all reliable. And those are the ones that WWE wants to go to. And there are some people that are not here right now. Bray Wyatt with the birth of his second child. You have, you know, Roman Reigns with the birth of his second set of twins, you know, and the COVID situation. So, you know, there's some things that I think 2 months from now, I think we'll have a better idea as far as where wrestling goes for the remainder of 2020. But Edge, Randy Orton, they lived up to not the expectations of being the greatest match of all time or ever. You know, that was just WWE just overselling it. But they had to put some type of label to this. You know, so it's like, what do you do? Do you just go over the top with the label? Or do you try to put it in perspective? And if you try to put it in perspective, what the fuck do you call it? A pure wrestling match? After a WrestleMania assault for 40 minutes or whatever it was.
Right.
Now I challenge you to a wrestling match. That sounds ass backwards. So they throw the over the top label to it. The music was even corny. It's the greatest. You know, like it was, I think it was, you know, this is such an outdated reference, but you might actually get this. And I think some may too. You remember that TV show on ABC called The Greatest American Hero?
William Catt, yeah, believe right. it or not, the song was more popular than the series.
What was so funny about him? When he would try to fight crime.
I remember he couldn't fly correctly right. or something like
he
that.
He would just, like, they advertised him as the greatest American hero, and a lot of things he couldn't do at all. Like, it was kind of like a spoof of what he actually was, but in the end, he actually was pretty good. But this, again, I'm revealing my age with this, and I never even liked that show all that much when it was around. I hated his fucking hair. I always wanted to set it on fire.
William Catt.
Yeah. But, it, you know, when they called it the greatest American hero, he wasn't the greatest American hero. In a lot of ways, he was a goof. He'd fucking fly into walls, you know? But that's the vibe that I got from this. I didn't shit on it last week or the week before. You know, I was very curious to see if they could deliver. I mentioned it Friday. I thought Edge had a real, real, real big chip on his shoulder from WrestleMania. Never in a million years, I don't think Edge ever expected the lash back, the criticisms from WrestleMania that the match went way too fucking long.
Yeah.
So he shut up me. He shut up a lot of people who complained about WrestleMania. The crowd stuff. We talked about it already. I don't hold that against either one of them. Excellent, excellent match. Yeah, and you know what was beautiful about it, too? What? Went 45 minutes, and there really wasn't any points during it that I felt like, hey, you know, let me go sneak a shit. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you have long-ass matches, and you're like, hey, you know, maybe I could go sneak making myself something to drink, or, like, maybe I could go into the room and start setting up for the show, and I could...
You didn't take a break.
No, basically. I watched the whole thing.
Me too.
Did not take a break. That when you go 45 minutes, and you don't feel like you need to, like, step away for a couple of minutes while they're doing a headlock on the mat and doing nothing else... When you don't step away at all, that's when you know you got something good.
Exactly. You keep everybody's interest. It's captive audience, as they like to call it.
So, favorite match tonight, least favorite match tonight, and what do you give it on a scale of 1 to 10?
Favorite match tonight, I'm going to go Randy Orton Edge. I have to go with that. Randy Orton Edge, favorite match, absolutely. Least favorite match, Miz and Morrison versus Braun Strowman. I'll go as far as, because everything else was a little bit better. Overall, scale 1 to 10, I'm going to give it a 7.
Okay. Me, favorite match, Edge, Randy Orton, easily. Least favorite match, I'll tell you, I kind of lean towards the women's tag match. Nia Jax and Asuka kind of like was a lot better than I think a lot of people hoped. Miz Morrison and Braun was actually better than I thought it would be. Like, I knew what the outcome was going to be, but I'm going to be a little different. I'll go with the women's tag match tonight because it was so predictable. And on a scale of 1 to 10, I give the pay-per-view tonight a 7. As well, maybe a 7.5 because for the COVID era, if we're talking COVID era, I give it a 7.5. If it was just a regular straight up pay per view, then maybe I would give it a little bit less. So I'll give it a 7.5. I think that is very fair.
All right, we're on the same page with that.
Yeah. Ooh. So with that, everybody, that is your Backlash pay per view recap. Went about 90 minutes. Yeah. Little more than I thought we were, but I think we gave a fair discussion on it. You know, I hope people realize the difference between our shows and a lot of others is we don't go into move by move by move, springboard to the floor, 2.5 count, 2 3/4, 2 7/8. He kicked out, he kicked out, he kicked out.
Yeah, you don't want to hear that.
You know, we just tell you our overall views on everything. But, Josh, yeah, it is the COVID era. When you realize all the limitations that are going on and all the people that cannot perform right now and won't perform right now, and the fact that you have no live fans in attendance, you know, there's a lot of special circumstances. You know, once the bell starts, you know, you got to go business as usual and perform, you know, but under these special circumstances, I think the pay-per-view was decent. So, but let us know what you think. Post all your comments. Let us know your thoughts. And once again, 24 hours from now, we will be right back here with the DTKC show. So we really won't have to talk too much about Backlash. Hopefully I'll have the winner of the Patreon predictions contest by Monday night, if not by Wednesday at the latest. And I will get on the honker and find out who the masked ninjas were. We'll find out who they were.
Okay. So more news and updates tomorrow night.
Yeah. All right, my friend. Talk to you tomorrow.
Peace. All right, everybody.
Peace. All right, take it easy. All right, everybody. I'm going to jet because I want to put this online as quickly as possible. And I got to crash because I got to get up super early for work Monday. But again, we will be back here 24 hours from now. By the way, shout out to all our patrons. Yesterday, Mish and I did an episode of Breakfast Soup, almost 3.5 hours, and we took live calls for the first time. Why is that important for my friends checking this out on YouTube right now? Because as you know, in the very near future, I'm going to be taking calls on Wednesday Night Dynamite and the Don Tony Show. Yesterday, we did the test run with the 225 Don Tony number. Don't call it now. It's on Do Not Disturb, so you won't get through. But we tried it yesterday with our patrons, and it went flawless. So now all I have to do is just configure my second computer to be able to take the calls, pop them right into the mixer, set up a little screening thing, and we'll be good to go. So in the very near future, we will be taking live calls, and you'll be able to call in, let us know what your thoughts are on pay-per-views and stuff. So, yeah. And the reason why we can't take calls on a Monday is because my second computer is used to bring Kev onto the show. Can't do both together. So it's either one or the other. So you either get calls on Monday, but you don't get a co-host, or you get a co-host on Monday and you don't get calls. So it'll be fun. Definitely look forward to talking with some of you bastards, especially in the chat. Much love as always. Jody and others, don't take what I say as an insult. I appreciate everybody who tunes in. So you don't have to worry about your buttocks. You know, I'm not into that anyway. But nothing but love, everybody. Nothing but love. Let us know what you thought about the pay-per-view. And I'll be back live Monday night with the Don, Tony, and Kevin Castle show. So I am outie. Peace, everybody. Take care. And outro time.
Don, oh my.
It was fun to channel surf. It was kind of hard to do a little pocket pool after you hitting the last channel button 50 times for 2 hours plus.
Don, oh my.
And his whole idea of overanalyzing, oh, he's an alcoholic and he misplaced the belt. And how could you have someone champion like that? The fuck out of here.
Wednesday night.
Don, oh my. You can have fun. You really are.